Welcome to the Saturday set. It's Derby Day. It's Golden Eagle Day. It is a beautiful day for the purest King Zone. You ready to rip right in?
Yeah, I am ready. I am ready. Flemington and Randwick. I'd love to see the grand finals down in Flemington, I've got to say. All the champs down at Flemington racing against each other. It's a little bit disappointing, but I hear what you're saying. It's a great day's racing and we do need to attack hard.
We do. There's an hour and 20 minutes, Fizz, from 3:40 to 5 p.m. tomorrow. It's just the most beautiful racing. It's a symphony. It's a masterpiece.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Saturday. Right. 2 days' time.
Right, interesting.
A symphony and a masterpiece.
To be honest, I looked at the races this morning. It's unbelievable. Great racing and really competitive.
You want to see them against each other though, don't you?
Yeah, Fitz? I do. I would like to see them all in the one place. It'd make for a fair spectacle, but, you know, we don't get to choose that. So
you sort of get the Champions Stakes Day and Sprint and all that the week after. A little bit get that, but No, they won't all be there. But I don't think it'll ever happen anytime soon as well.
Anyway, we don't decide the fields, but we do decide what we bet on. So let's talk about that.
So we've got three feature races to look at from Flemington, two from Randwick. We're going to start with maybe the race of the day, the Coolmore Stud Stakes. We're going to have a look at a couple of the favourites to get us in the moon. Let's look at Bivact. Bivact in the Golden Rose. It was the run of the spring, wasn't it? Tempted's trying to come out in the stable, mate. You got Woden up on the fence. Absolutely dominant display. I think he rated 108 on Dano's ratings, which is upper elite range. Mm. He is the favourite from the Chris Waller yard. Let's have a look at Tentorus, another stable mate. Now, he got right out the back here in the Gothic at Caulfield a couple of weeks back. We're on him in the pot. It wasn't looking good here because he got Raging Force out in front, doing very well. McGaw on the fence. And Tentorus gets into his work and it's a lovely win. He's second favourite and could even possibly start favourite. I don't know if that'll happen. You boys can tell me. Let's bring the market up. We know the two favourites. There it is. It's a really hot field. Away we go.
Yeah, well, firstly, I want to say a couple of things. Derby Day last year, 2024, I went back and had a look at all the videos. Everything raced beautifully.
Yeah.
The track was really, really fair. There was no bias that I could see anywhere. The second thing that I want to say is this week at Flemington, there's often fast-paced races. Flemington, long straight. Look for horses that are strong at the distance and have good acceleration. So you're looking at horses that can really run that distance out hard with that long straight, and be a bit wary of horses that are coming from Moonee Valley or Caulfield, leader biased tracks or slow paces, and then coming down that big Flemington straight. Let's get into this race. Those two races that we just saw then, Tentorus and also were by far the highest rating races for any form lines, which is majority of this field.
Yes,
coming in. The other one is Beedman, really, and Beedman's rating. I wanted to back Beedman in this race initially before I saw the numbers sort of come through, and my model did what it did, but Beedman was very unlucky last start.
Very unlucky, should have won. Yeah.
But the numbers just quite low there. I do think this will suit over 1200. Down the straight. But I'm gravitating, I think Raging Force, so I just spoke about horses that are strong over 1,200. I don't think Raging Force is one of them. Mm-hmm. And it's been a market mover there, yeah? Must have been, what, 10 or 12 into 8. I would be against Raging Force. I think there's probably two hopes, and that's the two favourites there. So Bayvact, as we just saw coming out of the Golden Rose, ran, you know, elite time there, smashed the clock, winning that, but this is different down the straight, and it's a different race to Rose Hill where you're drawn in barrier two and you're going to go to the lead in a race where there's not a lot of pace. This race does have a lot of pace, and what I think Hieronymus is going to do is try and get cover, which I think will suit the horse. Where's the pace come from? I didn't write down where the pace comes from. Where's the pace come from here, Fitz? Says Hidden Motive goes forward.
Raging Force goes forward.
Raging Force.
I mean, obviously, Bayvact went forward in that 1400 meter race, but like you, I didn't think he was going to be going forward. I think it was just some of the roughies were going forward. That's all in this race.
But this sort of a race fits, like, you want to get a bit of cover here, don't you? It's pretty hard to lead off a sort of fast tempo in this class. Got cover and gone bang.
Seems to be, but you've also seen the odd leader pinch one of these races. Yeah, what a race this is. What did you find, King?
Well, I think one of the two. It's a no-bet race for me. I think Bayvact or Tentorus, I think they're both strong 1,200-metre horses. I think they're both going to get cover, and I think that one of those two will win. I don't think there's any value there really at the moment, and it's a no-bet race for me.
Yeah, on my form, I mean, Rich has spoken about Baywatch's rating in the Golden Rose, and I guess that distorts my ratings figures a little bit. Sure. It came out 105 in that race for Dan's ratings, which is very high compared to the rest of these runners in this race. Yeah. But it's hard because I think Baywatch obviously is a massive hope. I do love Tentaris as a horse. Beedman, there's a big tip out for. I've had a few people comment about Beedman to me about its trial the other day, which Bayruck was in, and also Skyhook went and had a little jump out there, but it wasn't trying. It was just out there for a jog down the straight to probably just test it out and see what it thinks of the straight. This is an anything-goes race. I'm with Kings. I think one of the blue horses will win, but doesn't surprise me to see any horse in this. I think My Gladiola is a great straight horse. Wouldn't be surprised to see it, but Barrier 1 could be a bit iffy.
Yeah.
You don't know where they want to be. Generally, centre of the track / outside fence can be the place to be in the straight races. So, and I noticed that Waller's thrown Skyglider in
there. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. So interesting horse. Third start.
Yeah, really ran weird. 7 days obviously ago, got a big opinion. Group 1 company. Yeah, big opinion of it. But like we've seen it not always be a favourite race, the Coolmore.
Yeah.
So nothing surprised me here. I can't bet with any confidence.
I just wanted to ask you, you were very bullish on Tentaris last time. So first up, got beat by McGaw.
Yep.
And obviously a big improvement second up to hit the line. Do you think there's continued improvement?
I do, and 1100 was the first when it got beaten.
Unsuitable.
Then stepping up to 1200 second up, I think it's got so much ability, that horse, and yeah. It's really hard. Baywatch hasn't really been one of my horses, so I'm not that keen to go and step into it this weekend, even though the rating was super high out of the last start. If I had to be on one of the blue horses, I do think the 3 might start favourite, I've got to say, in this. I think Tentaris might start favourite and Beedman might shorten up a little bit more and you might see Baywatch drift a little bit, I think.
Yeah, well, that's the other reason why I'm not that keen to bet, because even though Beedman's numbers aren't that high, I'm a bit scared of Beedman.
Yeah, so am I.
I just lay Raging Force. Go 12 to run, Raging Force and fill the bag.
I
wouldn't have any problem with that either.
Well, let's move to the Victoria Derby for 2025. Observer's a dominant favourite. Everyone saw Observer's utterly dominant win in the Vase last Saturday. So let's go and look at Autumn Mystery in the Norman Robinson, another key lead up to the Derby. So Fizz, quite a lot of horses that are in this race are lining up in the Derby as well. So there's Autumn Mystery about to punch up on the fence and ends up winning quite comfortably. Anything out of this race that
can make you think
that Observer can get rolled?
I automatically penned all these horses out of this race. I don't like the blanket finish. Nothing smashed the line. And I don't think it's the right form line leading into the Derby. I do think the form line is that Moonee Valley race.
Yeah,
with Observer and Providence coming out of it. I think Observer will have the tactical advantage here in this race. There may be a little bit of speed, but I think most of these horses, for the first time out to 2,500 metres, will really not want to go too hard, because there's so many question marks on horses stepping up to that distance for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy to pen that race. So if you take out Autumn Mystery, you take out Maywa, and you take out a few of the others, then Autumn Mystery, and then you got High Vol coming out of a race at Geelong where it had every favour in front. Now it's barrier 15 and don't know what it's going to do. I think there's just one hope, and I'm more than happy to be on it, Observer. It's official.
Official.
It's official. I'm on
it's official. In a group one.
Yeah, more than happy to just be on it. I said Providence is going to get back again from barrier 12. You've got barrier 4. He can do whatever he wants, Zara. He can just sit there if there's a hot speed and take a sit. If there's no speed, he can go to the front. It's just like everything is set up perfectly for this horse, and there's nothing that's scaring me in the race behind it.
Not the extra 500 metres, doesn't worry you.
It's the only question mark, but there's a question mark for every horse over the 2,500. Yes, of course, 500 metres.
You think you should just sheer class, you should be fine.
I don't know if they'll go that hard, and I think sometimes in those races just the class prevails in those circumstances. So, yeah, I'm confident. I think it'll win again.
Very good.
We're going head-to-head here.
Go, son.
We're going head-to-head. Yeah, I was against Observer in this race. So a few reasons, but I just want to go back to the start of Observer's career. So Observer's had 6 starts for 2 wins, 2 seconds and a third. So his first run, he ran second at Pakenham. Then he over 1,200 metres. Then he came out and he won easily, odds on, won easily at Sandown. Mm. Third up, he was odds on, 1,400, looked a good thing, and failed with no excuse at all. So he got tired, came to the end of his prep and stopped. Went out for a spell, came back, first up, ran well. Second up, we saw what he did in the Caulfield Guineas. Third up at Moonee Valley, we saw what he did. But they went very slow in front of, in that race as well. Moonee Valley, just the way that race was run really suited him and flattered him a bit. Yes, he is a very good horse, but I've got a few concerns with him. One is going from 2,000 to 2,500 for the first time. Fourth up, after what we saw him do third up, where he came to the end of his prep. Secondly, I think it's very hard to lead or be on pace the whole way at Flemington over 2,500 metres. The other thing that I will note is that there's a lot of horses in this race coming out of, he's not smashing the clock sort of observe. He's doing very well, but he's not smashing the clock.
He could have won by about,
yeah, I was just going to say that. He could have won easily, but it was at the Valley. Yeah. So for me, correct, that long, was, yeah, grueling 2,500 of the Flemington Straight, he is good, but he's going to have to be very, very good to win this race, I think. And if you go and watch that replay, Options didn't take part in that race at all. Options started $5 or around $5.50 in that race against Observer. Observer was, I don't know what, evens, and Options was $5.50. Options didn't take part in that race, just sat last. I think will be suited over 2,500 metres. I think $14 is a great price about it. I think Providence, I don't think $6 is a great price about Providence, but Providence hit the line really well. I think will be suited over 2,500 metres. As well, you've got horses like Arcola, who's not on the screen, 50-1, been unlucky its last two, hasn't taken part. O'Shamus, who was third behind Observer at the Valley, didn't have a lot of luck as well. The first emergency, Arabian Prince as well, been hitting the line really well. And Maywar as well at $18, I gave a chance. So there's a lot of horses, I think, that can improve as well. I don't think Observer, why I like this race and I'm against Observer is I don't think Observer can improve that much, but I think the others can. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I'll just note about the start is you don't want to be drawn too wide. I noticed Providence has drawn 12, Auto Mystery 17. It's a bit of a negative for me because there's only that short run to the first turn at Flemington, and it's often sort of hard to get in and you've got to go too far back at Flemington over that start. So that's it for me. I don't know if I'll punt in the race, but I'm going to lay Observer.
Oh, interesting. Let's move to Flemington race eight, the Empire Rose. Fangirl comes down from Sydney. But let's go and have a look at the two-rack form because another Walla runner, Like a Lucy, features pretty prominently. So we've got Transit Landing out in front. You've got Evaporate coming hard at it. And then Like a Lucy rattles off a really nice final furlong. We'll watch them go to the line. It looked like Evaporate was going to get there, didn't it? But Transatlantic digs
it did.
In. Nice.
Booted on. From and then came to Sydney and franked the form as well last Saturday in the last race.
And, of course, we've got Pride of Jenny in there as well to mess things up even more. Over to you, sir.
We've got two horses, the top two there, Pride of Jenny and Fangirl, coming out of the King Charles. So, obviously, that's the class in the race. So let's just talk about that. King Charles. So Pride of Jenny led, but she didn't come out that well. What happened there?
Didn't really skid.
She didn't go as hard.
I think he was just trying to gently get a lead. But I remember watching the race and thinking, I think I commented, oh, he's not going that hard on. And then she just never got that 4 or 5 length lead, did she?
I think Batesy said she didn't use her early pace. Like she just took a while to get going. It's a little bit of a concern for me, but there's not a lot of pace. She hasn't got the pressure that she normally finds with something taking her on in this race. And I'll get back to her. Fangirl, I thought – one thing with Fangirl is – well, I say the same thing every time. She can't sprint off fast paces. And I didn't like her in the King Charles for that reason. And she didn't really sprint that well. And she didn't really get that faster pace. What did you think, Fitz, of Fangirl's run?
I don't know. Weird. It was a really flat run. It was a really disappointing run from her. You'd think that she'll improve. She's got to improve off that. If not, maybe it's the end of her prep.
Do you think Pride of Jenny will go out hard in this race with
I
no
think
pressure
so.
Or
I
average
think,
again? What are you, what's
I think,
your thoughts?
I think they will because of the fact that that's when she seems to win. Mm. When she does go out hard and she came unstuck not doing that last start. Whether or not just she wasn't going, which is what it looked like. It just looked like she did jump slow. And when he worked across, I don't know, maybe there wasn't just much under the bonnet. You don't know. You just don't know. She could have just had an off day.
So in Wallace Show with Charlie Duckworth last night, he made a real strong point to say we're not going to let Pride of Jenny get too far out in front. If you lose sight of her, that's when she wins. He was very clear and direct in that. So that's quite interesting.
That's weird because how's he going to keep up with Fangirl? She gets
well. He's got
the,
he's
Lance.
Got like a Lucy.
I know he's got like a Lucy and Lazura.
Yeah, so someone will take it up.
Go and listen to what he says. This yeah, okay. He makes a strong point saying we're not going to let her get too far away.
I think Fangirl will struggle. Personally, I think Fangirl will struggle in any races that Pride of Jenny's in. Another interesting point in this race is Idle Fly, a horse that we're on last week that was a massive go, actually has the best last start rating coming in by about 3 points coming into this race. So that was a big run after sitting a bit wide by Idle Flyer as well. I'll cut to the chase. The only horse that I could be on in this race is Pride of Jenny. Not an official tip.
Yeah, right.
I want to see how the track's playing as well. I'm a little bit worried that she didn't show pace last time. But for the setup, there's a lot of get-back horses in this race. She's the only one that goes forward. She's strong at Flemington over 1,600.
This was the race that she exploded onto the scene. You remember she did a couple of years back? She might have been like $15 or something.
Yeah, she went to the front.
And no one really knew how dangerous she was when she got out in front back then. She won two on the trot in that manner, so...
Yeah, I'd like her fresh, but she's the only horse I could back. Whether I bet or not, I'm not sure.
If there's anything
more. Yeah, interesting. My ratings came out with not weird numbers, but Fangirl came out top pick from Lazura, like a Lucy third pick. But I'm going to say that there's a bit of value around Fangirl and Pride of Jenny. And if I was going to be betting, I would be looking at 6, 10 and 7, like a Lucy, Idle Flyer and Lazura. I think those horses are all going... I think firstly 6 and 10 are both going very well, and I think like a Lucy, this looks a great setup for a Waller horse. I think if Pride of Jenny does go like the clappers in front, I do think like a Lucy's going to have the turn of foot to run over the top of her. Mm-hmm. So that's the horse that I'm probably got top pick of my own selections in my head, and Idle Fly is just flying. Matthew Smith's got this horse airborne, and I sat wide and still blew him away last start, and yeah, really good hope as well. Lazura just won that. It was a little bit disappointing last start, but maybe it's the one he's going to take forward, Kings. Maybe he's going to put the pressure on and try and keep up with Pride of Jenny with that horse. But if I was going to bet, 6 and 10 for me.
It was unlucky too. You didn't find Damask Rose. I had it around the same price. It was a bit unlucky behind Transatlantic last start.
No, I didn't look at it. I must say I didn't look at its run. I thought a Bounding's win was nice, but I thought the setup was perfect for it last start. This is a bit harder. So, no, just was more steering towards 6 and 10.
Very good. Let's go to Randwick, race 7. We can look at the Russell Balding, a $3 million race, and there's a lot of bonuses attached to it as well. So much money on offer. Let's go and watch the Everest, of course, because a lot of the horses are backing up. There's the King trucking up to the lead. Not you, but Ka Ying. Jimmy Starr runs on for third. Tempted is second. And you got Briasa, the big grey, flying home. But Jimmy Starr was the sort of... Well, he's run the race for the Russell Balding, of course, because you don't have Tempted there. And the jump up to 1,300 metres, Fizz, that suits perfectly, doesn't it, for Jimmy Starr?
Jimmy Starr's been knocking on the door, Rich, and they showed versatility last start. I wish they'd done it the start before when I bet up. But, they showed that Jimmy Starr doesn't have to get back to last. He sat three wide against Superstars and held on for third there. That was a really big run from Jimmy Starr. I mean... I'm going to stick with the class here. I don't like afterthoughts. We've talked about that. Was there a grand final last week? I meant 2 weeks ago. I'd say it probably was. But I do think class will shine through here. And I think one or two will win the race. Jimmy Starr will be our side. I didn't like War Machine's run. I did think going to the Everest was an afterthought for War Machine. And it was really flat in the Everest. So happy to stay out of it. And Lanny Shenandoah had every possible chance. I know Kings gave it a hope in the Everest, but it did have every hope, right? And then it really didn't produce that much. It was all right to the line, but it was just
about. My two had the right runs, Jolly Star and Lady Shenandoah. Yeah.
But Lady Shenandoah now draws 13. You'd suggest they'll be negative from that gate. So, look, I'm Jimmy Starr and Biasa all the way in this race. I think they'll fight it out. I don't see anything else bothering them, to be honest.
In the show, Waller talked about Lady Shenandoah, and he basically said he'd rather be running, over the 1,500 metres in the Golden Eagle, but you can't.
Right.
You can't jump up from being a sprinter to the 1,500 that quickly. And I feel like he's just sort of hoping that she'll run all right in this. I mean, she's a brilliant horse. You know, of course she can win. But the way he talks sort of talks to your point, Fizz, that, you know, she's up against it in this race. And they probably put her away after this race no matter what happens.
Yeah.
And then she comes back and she's probably more of that 1,400 to mile horse. I reckon. Mm. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are there's a lot of pace in this race through Private Eye, Marzu, Rothfire, With Your Blessing, Coal Crusher. So they're going to go pretty hard up front, which I think Briasa. So you mentioned Briasa versus Jimmy Starr. You're on Jimmy last time and they let Briasa go in front and Briasa held on. Then in the Everest, Jimmy went in front of Briasa and Briasa couldn't run down Jimmy Starr.
Yeah, correct.
I don't think Briasa's a horse that's going to run over the top of horses a lot, the sort of the way he's going. And what worries me here is I don't think Briasa's going to be in the first sort of four. I think Briasa will be seventh or eighth. I don't think Briasa can out-sprint Jimmy Starr or all Lady Shenandoah from there. Briasa's better suited to a smaller field where he can sit second or third and let down and hold them off. What are they going to do here with Jimmy? What's Ethan Brown going to do with Jimmy here from barrier four? Because he doesn't want to get buried second last.
For sure, if you watch last start, for sure they've just got to go forward from gate four and sit right behind the four or five horses you've talked about, the tempo horses, because there is good speed, and just sit there behind them. And yeah, I just think he gets a perfect run just behind the speed and says bang.
He may get a perfect run, Either he sits probably three back fence or four back fence or
one. Does he have to go the fence from gate four?
Well,
I don't think so. I think he'll stay in the
two wide. What's inside him? It's not on the screen. Well, even one off. He's going to need luck.
Right.
Whatever happens, Jimmy Starr's one of those horses that always needs luck. He's a fantastic horse. I don't think he's a good price at 270. I do think he's a great winning chance. I think Jimmy Starr or Lady Shenandoah will win the race. I think Lady Shenandoah is a pretty good price at $6.
Sticking fat.
And the reason why I'm not concerned about barrier 13, because I can see her getting a jump on Jimmy and accelerating down the middle of the track. James will sit sort of midfield or further back on Lady Shenandoah off that hot tempo. You're smiling. You love it when I keep falling into the same horses and they get rolled. But I think this is a really perfect setup, 1300 for Lady Shenandoah. And I think the price is good as well. Listen, if Jimmy Starr was $6 and Lady Shenandoah was $270, I'd be reversing it. But I think the price is good. I think she'll improve. I think she can win. I with you was a bit disappointed. A lot of people thought War Machine was a bit unlucky in the Everest and didn't get clear running. But
I didn't think that.
I thought it was a little bit disappointing, and I think the others on the screen there are going to be in that pace battle up front and you know, in the rising class. So Jimmy or Lady Shenandoah for me.
Sweet.
There you go.
Ready to move on. Now, here's a race. We're going to crescendo this symphony with the Golden Eagle, a $10 million race. Let's go and look at Baby Winx, AG, in the Epsom. Definitely her biggest win, her biggest test. But as Chris Waller said, it keeps getting tougher for her and she's going to try and keep her unbeaten record alive. There's Pericles trying to keep up with her. She looked like she was in a little bit of trouble at the top of the straight, but she often does look like that. And then she just has this class that just gets her home every time. Bring the market up. Over to you, boys. There it is.
Yeah, well, she's an amazing horse. And I don't think this really is a rising grade from the Epsom. What do you think, Fitz? Is this easier than the Epsom?
Not at all. I reckon this is easier.
Yeah, I thought it was a fair bit easier.
I disagree with that. But
really?
You give me the horses here.
Linebacker could have won the Epsom. Panja Tower, I don't know enough about. Your mate Junior said it should be odds on in this race. Evaporate nearly won the Toorak. I think Evaporate would have been very competitive in the Epsom. That's about it. Sepples was, what was it? It was nearly favourite. So, anyway.
Yeah, all good.
I just want to talk about the second and third picks before I get to Autumn Glow. So Panja Tower off my international numbers is 4 rating points lower than Autumn Glow.
Okay.
And I looked at Panja Tower, not really that concerned with Panja Tower. Linebacker we saw come out last start, sit wide in an easier field, get on pace and win very impressively.
I will say that it was a very slow speed that they went slow in that race.
100% correct.
Which helped this one. It made it look better than it was.
I agree. And very fast pace here with fully lit Shangri-La and Perfumist. Going forward, where have you got linebacker fits?
Behind Autumn Glow in the run.
So sixth?
Yeah.
So I don't think linebacker can sit sixth and win. I think linebacker can only sit in the first. Linebacker only wins when he's on pace.
Yeah.
And I don't think he can get on pace. If he is on pace, he will burn. So I couldn't back linebacker. I couldn't back the Japanese horse off those ratings and also what I've seen. Autumn Glow, let me talk about her. 7 from 7. The Epsom she did with ease. I love where J-Mac's going to sit here. I love the barrier 9. He's going to sit about 5th or 6th as he does. Just peel round like Huey used to do on Winx and just go bang. I think $2.15 is a complete luxury. I think she's $1.50 or shorter chance. And she is my first official Saturday set tip on Derby Day and Melbourne Cup week.
I'm with you, Kings. It's an official Saturday set tip. Whoa! I just said
Double down.
It sits perfectly behind the speed. Everything you said is correct. Linebacker, they're getting carried away with last start. Happy to give it a miss. Third pick for me. Evaporate, second pick for me. Fourth pick was a Japanese horse, which is the unknown for everyone. Like King said, I went and had a look at its ratings too. They're not quite up to this lot or a couple of these, I don't think. So I'm more than happy to let it go. I don't think there'll be that much money for the Japanese horse unless the massive syndicates have a completely different opinion to what we do. But other than that, the Australian public haven't seen this horse, so I would suggest it may drift a little bit if you like it. Japanese horses generally who come out here have a very good record and they've got a lot of talent, so I'm definitely not drawing a line in it. It's also drawn quite well. So, yeah, for me, Autumn Glow, clear standout, keep the picket fence going. I've taken 220.
Mm.
I like the odds. I'm on.
I'm not on yet, but I will be getting on.
You should
very
be.
Very shortly. John Massaro heard on radio. He was a bit concerned about Autumn Glow getting beyond 1600, which I thought was strange. I thought she was a 2000 meter horse and would be set for this year or maybe not now, obviously, but next year's Cox Plate.
Probably, but I mean,
what do you think?
Well, it's a $10 million on offer here. That's
forget about the money. Just what do you think she'll get? Would get 2000?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, fit? I think she's the kind of horse that can run anywhere between 1,200 up to 2,000. Yeah. I think that they probably would aim towards a Cox Plate next year.
I hope they do. I'd love to see her in a Cox Plate. She's a star. She can sprint off, which the really, really, really good horses can do, sprint off fast paces and sprint off slow paces at that high level.
Before we move on, I was at Coogee Beach about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
After the last Saturday set we did, I saw Glenn Pollitt.
Mm.
And he said, I watched the Saturday set for the first time. So, you know, we're getting pretty big when he starts watching us.
Mm.
And he said he was very impressed with your horse racing knowledge. He said, just didn't know Fitzy knew so much about horse racing.
Said, been doing it a long time now. It's hard when you're ahead in the computer every day not to start to know stuff about horses. You watch every race that goes around a week, probably helped me along the line.
I wonder if you'll tune in again.
Hopefully. If you want, hello, Glenn. Hello, Anna.
G'day, guys.
We're doing a mates mode pot again. Tough day at the office last week. We had a wipeout. They do happen every now and then, and they will happen again.
Unfortunately, it's all part of the game, isn't it?
So we've got a big week coming up. We're doing one for Derby Day, one for Cup Day, and then we're going to do another one for Stakes Day. It's going to be a long, tough, grinding
week.
You're
a busy boy.
Busy boy, but I'm ready for it. But there was a bit of pushback in the chat. In our mates mode community, which is understandable. We lost people's money. You know, the small vocal minority weren't that happy. I just thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to set the record straight. I'm going to go back and look at our record. Because a lot of people are saying, you got to change this. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do it this way. And in my mind, I was like, why would you change a lot of what I've learned off you? If it's a winning formula, stick at it. You're going to have ups and downs. It's all part of it.
No one wins every day.
No.
Wish we did.
So
but
I went back and had a look, and here's how we've gone. So we've done 25 pots. I can't believe we've done
25.
When's
this from?
This is from the start.
Yeah. The Cox Plate, the night we were down there on the Friday night when I got a little bit ahead of me and knocked off the 100.
So,
I got ahead of myself.
So there you go.
But we've calmed down since then.
And we have a very good system, and we only developed the system after that, you know, the Manicato Stakes one.
Mm.
And we just, you know, we turned the pot over once. So look, it reads pretty well.
So what are you up? You're up to if you put in $50, you would have 25. So you would have turned over $1,250.
Sometimes it's 25, sometimes it's 50. Generally, okay. Now it's always 50.
So you've won you've won 200, and you've won 18% on turnover. So your profit on turnover is 18%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's
pretty
good.
Yeah, so it's good. And I guess the other
point
is
great. I wish I was winning 18% on turnover.
It's based on this show. Like, predominantly a lot of the bets are based on this show. So it's, I know not everybody goes in the mates, modes, pots, but it just shows that this show helps. No one ever's going to, you know, quit their job because of this show. But this show's always been about just trying to help people get set for their Saturday.
Yeah.
And that's a good example.
I saw you had 8,000 at $7, I think, that thing. That, what was
free
the
carry.
Name?
Yeah.
What was it? What was
free
it?
Carry?
Yeah. Oh, free carry. Yeah. I thought you said free carry.
Nah.
Yeah, free carry. Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like,
and just got
wins,
nutted,
you know,
on that.
Like,
we well, that started about 280 or something.
Yeah, so it's like, and we always take good odds. And anyway, it's good fun. So it's going to be a long, tough week coming up for Cup Week, but we will do our best. If you want to get involved, head to the Mates Mode section. Come punt with us. I'll put all the bets up on the app as well if you want to just follow along that way. Let's move to your official Saturday set.
My officials read like this. So we spoke about Autumn Glow, Randwick Race 8, number 14. I'm going to stay at Randwick. Just all in all, I thought it was a fairly hard day on sure. Saturday. I'm not like, I think Autumn Glow will win, but my confidence levels, I'm always confident, but it looks pretty tricky, and it often is with, especially at Flemington, with horses coming with different form lines, racing against each other. It's always a very hard week.
Sure.
Let's go to Randwick Race 4, where I think there's a bit of value. There's a lot of pace in this race, so I like a 2 at odds. Number 8, Jamira Beach. He's getting to the right distance, second up, unsuited first up, won 2 races, similar races last prep. I think it's about 20 to 1 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Number 15, Pyrus as well, unlucky last start. Mid-trop, freshen up. Both horses are going to get down the centre of the track off a fast pace. My other one's Morpheville, race 5, number 2, longer route. Massive first up run, again, unsuitable, 1,400 metres. The first up run going to 1,800 metres, which is suited. Gets a fast pace on now, got a slow tempo last start. Has been well backed. I'm going to wait on the price. I missed the early price. I think it's been about 650 to 450, so I'm going to wait and back longer route on the day. So there's my three races, 4 tips.
Great stuff. Fizz, your official Saturday set.
Yeah, no worries. We've been through 2 of them, Flemington 7-1 Observer and a Randwick Race 8, number 14, Autumn Glow. They're my first couple of shorties there. But then we go to Race 5 at Randwick, number 12, United Kingdom. This horse is a progressive stayer from the Wallace stable. J-Mac must be riding low this weekend because he gets in with 55 kilos.
He's got to get down for the cup,
weekend.
I think. I think he's got to get to 54 and a half for the cup.
Does he? So he's working his way down. I'm really happy he's on this horse on the weekend, and I think it's a really good chance to go back to back. Then we got one of my favourite horses, Ascot Race 6, number 1, Joker's Grin. It's first up, $1.70. Love that. Happy to take it on your Ladbrokes. Keep offering the big odds. And it's trialled enormous. There's good speed, even though it's a small field, and I think it'll just swoop down the outside and show them who's boss. Then I got one with a bit of value, race 10 in Ascot, number 2, Yorga Pride. This horse has a tiny little freshen up, has really good form lines through Eccentric Nature, which has come out and won 2 races since it defeated this horse last time in. Had a harder run on speed, and I think at about the $8 or $9 shot price, sorry, you're really getting a good run for your money this weekend. And then Morpheville, race 7, number 12, a horse called High Tor. This horse has been in form at the midweeks. A little bit stiff last start with the young girl, not giving it her best ever ride, Toodle, but she's on again this weekend. She's drawn a low gate, and I'm hoping the Morpheville Parks track isn't too leaderish because there's plenty of speed in this race, and I think she's great value at around the 850 mark.
Outstanding. Thank you, sir. Hey, Kingzone, I'm starting to get serious about the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, yeah.
You put out a lovely piece of content with the bird on Monday. I watched it. I watched every minute. I enjoyed it. I wasn't completely tuned in the Melbourne Cup, but after watching it, I was. So well done.
I've never done more form on one race in all my life.
If you don't bat the winner, it's not going to be through lack of preparation.
No, it's not. And now the rains are coming as well, Sunday, like Monday, that? Tuesday. So I've got to go back and go through and have a look who handles the wet and who doesn't as well. But, you know, I'm pumped. I'll be down at the heading down Sunday Arvo.
Yeah, so I'll put the link to the video that the King did for his King's Own brand. That'll be in the description. Go and watch. It's a really nice piece of content, really nicely edited by Trellman as well. Lots of vision, beautiful stuff.
Thank
then we're
you.
Gonna do a Saturday session. It'll be the last Saturday session for the spring. Look at those beautiful 5 feature races, and you can watch it all go down in the den. It's always fun. And then after that, we're gonna go and get a little bit of dinner. Then we'll come back and we're gonna record the Melbourne Cup set. Mm. So we'll just talk about the Melbourne Cup. It's a bit early on. We do on Saturday night. We won't be able to find any other tips on Cup Day, but we'll put some tips up on the den.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's about it. So there's plenty of content coming up. And then, of course,
it's a massive week.
Of course, we fly down on Sunday and we'll be at the Caller Card on Monday. You'll be betting right up.
I sure will.
And hopefully you prevail.
Yeah, hopefully the bookies are going to offer some generous odds down there that they have the last 3 years. They've been betting 102 to 105%. So hopefully that continues, and I will be there and I will be betting up. And I will back the winner.
Unreal. Great place to finish. Thanks for the support. We'll see you soon.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.